Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Total Onslaught when we come back. Well, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. And you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law when they put into our federal constitution at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words, where it says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." Now, in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. Now, in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents have introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks to the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system. And they have given us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach in our Mosaic Law School, which is conducted twice a year here at the law school in Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page. Total Onslaught, that's an odd title for a program, isn't it? Well, my daughter sent me a series of tapes called Total Onslaught. We'll use that name from time to time. It's the title of 36 DVDs put out by Amazing Discoveries up in Blaine, Washington, and Vancouver, Canada. It's actually a set of tapes that borders on religion. It isn't, but it borders on it. I avoid religious commentary. I don't belittle or berate Catholicism or Protestantism. I report on them from time to time, or Mormonism, etc., but I don't promote them and I don't run them down one way or the other. Now, I'm going to deviate just a little bit here because this guy's name is Walter J. Weith, I think he pronounced it. V-E-I-T-H. He's a German professor from South Africa, and he's lecturing on international geopolitics as it relates to the Book of Revelation and the international secret societies. I thought it was a fascinating series of programs. Not only is it well done, I sat there almost transfixed night after night. It's a big project. There's 36 of these VDs or C or DVDs. And they're about 90 minutes each, so we're talking about 50 hours plus of material. And I never ran into any dull material in the entire presentation. And as old as I am, I sat there and just learned this and that and another thing, and I thought I knew it all, but I discovered that I probably wouldn't qualify to light this guy's cigarettes or pour his coffee. Now, I didn't agree with everything the man said. In fact, when I got to the end of the program, I had taken some notes, and I noted 12 scriptural or doctrinal issues that I think he's incorrect on. But when I analyzed it and said, "Do you mean to tell me you listened to this guy for 50 hours and you could only find 12 complaints? Hell, I think you people could listen to me for 7 hours in one series and come up with 12 complaints, couldn't you? I mean, surely you don't believe everything I tell you. And once in a while I make a mistake, but not too often, but once in a while. Well, this guy made a mistake or two, but not very often. So I've noted those down, and I'm going to cover those 12 because I don't want you to write me a letter and tell me, well, now here's what you teach, and then you came out here and you endorsed this guy. Because if you'll remember, we point out pretty carefully to you that we don't endorse everything. Keep in mind that most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and the and their information, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. And we don't necessarily recommend or support every viewpoint that they have. But if we were waiting for somebody to come along in whose or whose information or their viewpoints we endorsed 100%, we wouldn't have anything to talk about, would we? So with that in mind, let's take a look at number one. It's 201B, and it's entitled Just Another Man. I'm going to review these and tell you what they're about, and then I want to make some comments on them because this guy has uncovered, or if he hasn't uncovered it himself, he's been revealing a lot of truth that most of us will never come into contact with. You'll never figure this out of and by yourself. Somebody's going to have to show you. Somebody's going to have to tell you. Now, once somebody tells you something, it doesn't necessarily make it true, but if the guy could prove it, what does he have for information? And one of the things that I thought was really outstanding about this fellow, Walter J. Beith, is that he constantly says, hey, listen, don't get mad at me. I didn't say that. I am citing to you out of Morals and Dogma. This is what the Masons say about themselves. This is what Albert J. Pike, the Grand Poobah of the Masonic Order, said. And he said it on page 647 or 541 or 238. So he has a lot to say about the secret societies. Freemasonry is certainly mentioned from time to time. If you're a Freemason, I think it'll be well worth your time to listen to the series because he'll tell you, well, did you know here's what Albert J. Mackey said concerning the Masonic Order? Here's what Albert Pike said. And you shouldn't have any complaints, all of you Masons out there, you shouldn't have any complaints about what your Grand Poobah has said and taught and believed and what you people are supposed to subscribe to. Now, when you take a look at that, Beith said most Masons don't know what Mackey or Pike had to say. Most Catholics don't know what Pope Pius said in 1943 about Nazis and Nazi Germany or about their practices. Or you don't know much about the Knights of Columbus or the Jesuit order. So he cites from the Knights and cites from the Pope and cites from the Jesuits. I mean, come on, Catholics, you can't bitch much about what the Jesuits say or what Loyola says or what the Pope says now, can you? So he's not bad-mouthing the Pope. He's not bad-mouthing the Jesuits. He never said anything nasty or bad about Loyola. But he said, have you ever heard what these people believe? Have you ever paid attention to what these people are telling you? He has one in here. I did a series of programs here on these new Bibles, the NIV, for instance, the new international version. There's 14 of them. He has one lecture series in here on these new Bibles compared to the King James and the various texts that have been used. But he goes a step further and he says, let me tell you who authorized these changes and who paid for it. Where does the money come from? Who's doing what to who and where and where's the canceled checks? And I'm amazed at the documentation that this guy has put together. Now, the first DVD is entitled Just Another Man. Now, the entire set of tapes is called Total Onslaught, which deals with the world today and the attack that's being made upon Christianity and Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in particular, by not just one or two churches, but all of the churches worldwide, all of the political institutions worldwide, and all of the scientific and business institutions worldwide. I mean, it is total, unrelenting, been going on for 130 years. It's been going on for 5,000, but I mean with serious repercussions over the last 130 years, starting about 1880. And as a result of that, there's a conclusion that we're approaching here toward the end of the age. And this section here, this tape DVD called Just Another Man, in this video, biblical evidence that Jesus is the Messiah is presented in multimedia format. The ancient prophecies are unraveled, particularly the prophecy in Daniel 9 on the 70 weeks, which pinpoints the exact time of the Messiah's arrival on earth. The study of this prophecy has even been cursed by some theologians who do not wish to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. Study the evidence revealed in this video and make your own conclusions. Now he points out the 70 weeks prophecy that there is in the New Testament, 61 or 63, I couldn't remember which, prophecies contained in the Old Testament that have been fulfilled in the New and reported in the New Testament. Now I knew there were a few prophecies, you know, like the virgin birth and the crucifixion, and Isaiah is full of these predictions and prophecy. Moses had a couple of three. The thing that amazed me, I think, so much was that this guy can identify the 61, identify the scriptures in the New Testament, cross-reference them with the Old Testament scriptures, such as Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Revelation. And this guy that we call Jesus, the Messiah, is the only guy that's ever lived on planet Earth that could fulfill these 51 prophecies. And he also has a lot to say about the various transcripts that have been used to create the scriptures today, both the King James and the new international version and the various translations. He documents every step of the way, step by step. Now, the only thing that we're missing here in this presentation is the actual physical documentation. So let me describe that one for you. In the format that we use here at the law school, I put a series of CDs together, not televised, but just the sound CD. And I make statements, and I say, well, now, here's the way XYZ works. Then I have a workbook that goes along with it in which we actually furnish the citation. If I'm citing, say, from Miranda versus Arizona, or from Seeger versus U.S., or from Stewart versus Chinese Chamber of Commerce, we furnish in hard format the exact citation, along with that comes from a case called Stewart versus Chinese Chamber of Commerce with the exact citation. So you have the physical evidence right here in front of your eyeballs that I photocopied from the U.S. Supreme Court reports. And then if you think I'm lying to you or I've doctored it, you can go check it for yourself because there's a citation there. Now, Dr. Veith has a little different format. Since it's on DVD and you've got the actual picture in front of you, he shows you on the screen the actual citation from the source. Let's suppose he's citing from Morals and Dogma. So he has the photocopy of the page, and it's been photographed, and it's put up there in front of you. And he sits there with a little gadget in his hand with an arrow on it, and he goes across the lines and reads it off and says, now here's what they say. I think that if I were doing this, I would furnish you with a workbook, a binder, you know, three-hole punch binder workbook, so that you could turn the page and actually have the hard copy in front of you. For instance, one of my problems was that he cited, probably 15 or 20 United States presidents who are Masons of the 33rd degree. Harry Truman was one, Gerald Ford, Bill Clinton, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., Franklin D. Roosevelt, Andrew Jackson, and that one just floored me. Andrew Jackson, who vetoed the U.S. National Bank, was a Mason. Now, I never would have suspected that, and Veith comes forward and says, now, how do I know that I photographed Andrew Jackson, and he went into the Masonic Lodge Hall in Washington, D.C.? It's not a big secret. I mean, this isn't something that's in some kind of a, you know, a witchcraft coven, you know, hidden into the dungeons of Skull and Bones at Yale. That's not the case. When you go into these buildings and institutions, they have the pictures right on the wall. And the professor simply photographed them and then reproduced them and put them into his DVD. And here's a picture of Gerald Ford. And it's signed by Gerald Ford, and it marks 33rd degree. And so the Masons write books, and they say, well, look at all of the famous people that have been Masons. It's good advertising for their lodge and their organization to have people like George Washington, Andrew Jackson, and Franklin D. Roosevelt, and so on, to be members of their organization. And the thing that amazed me was that he identifies all of these people. Winston Churchill, 33rd degree Mason. Joe Stalin, 33rd degree Mason of the Orient Lodge. Franklin D. Roosevelt, 33rd degree Mason. And get this, these are the three men that went to Yalta and sat down and divided up the world in 1944. Do you remember that? Now that's very revelatory. And Dr. Veith, V-E-I-T-H, and I believe he pronounces that Veith, is very straightforward, very factual, has the photographs, the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence, and puts it right up on the screen. Now, the problem that I have, that as he's going through this, if I want to remember this later, if I wanted to recite this to you, I would have to play that thing, and I did, three or four times, so that I could write these names down, so I'm busy writing down Churchill, Roosevelt, Stalin, and you know, he's going down the list, and of course I can't keep up with that. So then I have to go back and replay the thing over here and see if I can get all these down. I frankly would have preferred a hard copy in front of me so that I could sit down and tell you, well, now let me recite these names to you. Now, that's not a serious criticism. I just wanted to point out that he's got the documentation that's in front of you. You're going to have to carry your notepad and write it down. And if you want to check it out, you go down to the local library, and you can pull the books out and you can get the information. So I'm very impressed with his documentation. Now, with that in mind, the series of tapes here cost $300. So write that down, $300. They're $14.95 each, or $300 for the set, which is $8.33 each. They're priced cheap. In fact, when you send off to Nova or Frontline and you want a one-hour program, it's $24.95 plus shipping and handling. So the price of $300 for the set of 36 entitled Total Onslaught is dirt cheap by any measure. And so now that I have reviewed it, the question arises, well, is it worth the $300? They're always worth $24.95. And if we charge $25 times 36, it would be $900. And so I would say that in anybody's language, they're worth $900. Anybody's language. They're an hour and a half each. And they're only $8.33. So that says it all right there. I would be happy to pay the $900. It's got way more than that in information in it. All right, so let me flip that one over and put it over there by the side. And the second one over here is a story entitled Where Jesus Walked. This video takes us on a journey through ancient Palestine, retracing the steps of the Master and highlighting his great teachings, including the Sermon on the Mount, the key parables, the life and ministry of Christ, his birth and death on the cross are all portrayed in multimedia format in a thought-provoking study that you'll enjoy this look into the life of Christ. Far more than a religious diatribe. Now, this guy is a history professor, and he went through the Middle East taking pictures of the various sites. And then he goes through each of the sites and says, well, now here's what the Catholics say about it, here's what the Jews say about it, here's what archaeology says about it. And when we put these together, here's where the truth of the matter lies in the light of the report from the Bible. This guy is good with the Scripture. And he's careful to stick with the Scripture and point out, here's what the Scripture says, and here's what this church says, and here's what this guy says, and here's what archaeology says. But this is what the Scripture says. And then he goes through and says, now the Scripture says this, and here's what archaeology corroborates. And so and that pretty much puts the story to rest. And I mean, the guy's good at it, and he puts it out there in spades. This is where the rubber meets the road. Now, the accuracy, as far as I can tell, is beyond question. You know, it's not that the guy makes statements in here, you know, that, well, maybe that's true or maybe it isn't. Well, here's my opinion based upon, you know, my research, and you can believe me because I'm a professor. No. Now, the guy goes through a particular item. For instance, he goes into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and he says, the Catholic Church says this is where Jesus was crucified. He goes around the old city, photographs the wall, photographs the east gate, the west gate, photographs Golgotha, cites from the Scripture and says it's impossible for this church site to be the site of the crucifixion. Doesn't fit the biblical description, and it doesn't fit the physical description of the city. So it'll put that to rest. Now, for all you Catholics out there that believe Jesus was born in this location, and they build a church over it, say, and then he was crucified over here, and then they build a church over it, you know, that's fine. If you want to believe that, that's fine. But it's not biblically accurate, and it doesn't fit the topography, it doesn't fit the geography or the lay of the land. Okay. And so he goes over and says, now here's where the tomb is located, and here's a picture of it. And then here's where Golgotha is located, and it's outside the walls of the city, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre are inside the walls of the city. I mean, you can draw your own conclusion. The location of the church, where they claim this is where Jesus died, isn't true. And you can see that from the pictures, and he took the time to take the picture, seeing is believing. I don't have any quarrels about that. I'd already heard that before. I just wanted to point out that in this particular DVD, as he travels around the Holy Land, he goes up on the Mount of Olives, he goes out to the Sea of Galilee, goes down to the Jordan River, takes photographs and pictures, corroborates those with the text in the Scripture, and says this is the spot right here. In fact, the church in Nazareth, the synagogue where Jesus is reported to have stood up and read from the Scripture, and they took him out to the brow of the hill to stone him. You remember that story? Well, that exact synagogue has been dug up by archaeologists. It's laid out. It's a historical site today. And it's pretty revealing, you know. You take a look at these old rocks that are right there, and you can say, those steps going up into that synagogue are the exact steps that the Messiah himself walked up when he went in there that day. That's pretty significant. Archaeology proves it. The Bible declares it. I think it's phenomenal that this college professor comes along and says, here, let me document and put this out here for you and show you how this works, and here's why it works that way. That one's entitled, Where Jesus Walked. They point out here that this seminar is a complete Bible study experience, and it should be watched in its entirety to obtain the complete concept behind current end-time descriptions and deceptions In it will be exposed Satan's final attack on Jesus Christ and the lies that are being told to keep us as pawns in Satan's end-time plans. A revelation series like you've never heard before. A powerful witnessing tool and a must-have for every Christian. And I would agree. I don't think he's overstated his position at all. Well, let's see where we're at here. Total onslaught, number three. It's titled 203B, an advocate for our time in dealing with the Messiah here. The sanctuary is one of the great typological features of the Bible, and every aspect of the sanctuary points to the ministry of the Messiah. By a study of all of its features, the plan of salvation unfolds before our eyes. In this lecture, the significance of each and every article of furniture in the sanctuary is explained, and the depth of meaning unfolded. The sanctuary was not arbitrary. It was a lesson book for all generations. Now, I don't know if you went to Sunday school like I did a couple of times, you know, or went to church or somebody in catechism class. I'd go to catechism every week. And they would read a little bit out of the Old Testament from time to time, and they pointed out that there was a tabernacle. Inside this tabernacle, there was an altar and then a laver, and then there was candlesticks, and there was an Ark of the Covenant, and then there was the Holy of Holies, and then there was a veil. And all of these articles of furniture in here have very significant meaning as to the overall concepts that are being explained, laid out in Scripture. I didn't know that. Didn't have a clue. And this guy goes through it step by step and explains each article of furniture that's in here, what that means, how that fits into the overall plan of salvation, how there's a replica of it here on planet Earth of the exact sanctuary, the exact temple in heaven. And so it's quite a little story here. And that's the third one. It's marked 203. The first one here, 201, the prophecies in the Old Testament are revealed in the New and prove that this New Testament Messiah is the correct Messiah. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not Moses. It's not Elijah, Billy Graham, or anyone else. And then he goes on and tells you about a curse has been pronounced upon anyone who would reveal this 70 weeks prophecy. Now, that's pretty significant. He goes on to explain a history, an archaeology trip through the Holy Land, Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Golgotha, the tomb, and so forth. The wall of the city, the Wailing Wall, Dome of the Rock, picture, history. And this is not a story for the tourists. You know, when you go over to a place, you know, they'll come out. Every time I go to a tourist trap, you know, and I walk into, you know, like a cave, or when you go to a national park, you know, and some young college kid comes out there and says, millions and millions of years ago, and then they give you this canned speech and they tell you about what they think all this means out here. So they don't know that, and it's a bunch of poppycock, but no, it's the official line for tourists. In this series, this is not for the tourists. These are for serious scholars. This is for people that want to know the answer to the riddle. Guys like Daniel, who said to Big Mike in Daniel 12, he said, hey, tell me the meaning of this. What is this all about? And Big Mike said, nah, tell him. And they tell him. The Messiah in Matthew 13 said, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and haven't seen it and haven't heard it and don't understand it. Now, this guy, Walter J. Weith, stands up and says, let me explain that to you. Let me tell you the answer to this. It comes right out of the Scripture. And this is one of the few guys that I've run across that can code-plead the Scripture. Doctors, you know, of the law, lawyers and judges, they could code-plead the Scripture. Theologians and religious people can't. They don't understand law. They practice and understand religion. They don't understand and practice law. I don't know who taught this guy that, but he doesn't call it code pleading. He calls it Hebrew parallelism. Hebrew parallelism. So that when he comes up to the trumpets of Revelation, the beast, the sea of people, what does a beast mean? What is a mountain in Bible prophecy? It's a kingdom. A beast is a political entity. A sea is a group of people. And he's got the definitions. And here's the Hebrew parallelism he's talking about. If you wanted to know, for instance, what is the love of God, you'd go to 1 John 5:3, where it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So that's the code word. That's the Hebrew parallelism. There's a scripture that tells you what the word love means. So when you see the word love, well, we're not talking about sex, and we're not talking about mothers and babies. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. And that's the code word. The Bible is written in code. And this guy understands the code, and he lays it out and explains it. That's phenomenal. And when you combine that with the secret societies, you know, like the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and the Club of Rome, Skull and Bones. And then when you do it with the Bible to explain it, boy, that's something that I've never seen before, and I'll bet you haven't either. Hey, we're at the halfway point. Let me give you a reminder here that you are listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world and in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. For more information about the Law Hour and the Law School, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and Compact Disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package, so be sure to order yours by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, and go to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, georgegordon.org, and go to the archives page. The sources of information. Oops, I'm going to turn the wrong page here. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. We are reviewing a set of DVDs that are put out by an outfit called Amazing Discoveries. Amazing Discoveries has a telephone number. It's 1-866-572-9457. Once more, that's 1-866-572-9457. The series that you're looking for here is called Total Onslaught. And AmazingDiscoveries.org is their webpage. Simple enough. AmazingDiscoveries.org. It's all one word, Amazing Discoveries. Their address is P.O. Box 4480, Blaine, Washington. Amazing Discoveries, P.O. Box 4480, Blaine, B-L-A-I-N, Washington, and the zip code 98231-4480. That zip code again, 98231-4480. All right, Professor Vi, V-E-I-G-H, is a South African by trade or nationality. I imagine he escaped South Africa and has moved to Canada. It appears that he's in Vancouver, British Columbia, based upon what I can deduce. He's a Seventh-day Adventist, so I don't want you to get mad at me and say, well, you tricked me and you got me to buy these Advent tapes. I'm not sure that they're Adventist tapes, and I'm not sure that his presentation comes from the Seventh-day Adventist Corporation. It may or it may not. I can't tell you that. It appears that he is a Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know if he's a preacher or a theologian. He may be. He's trying to get you saved. He wants you to follow the scriptural law. He's advocating the Ten Commandments and all of the laws of the Scripture. And that's what caught my interest. That's very unusual, which leads me to believe he's probably not a preacher and probably not a theologian. Preachers and theologians are telling you that the law is abolished, nailed to the cross with Jesus, and you've got a license here to go out here and do as you damn well please. And I don't subscribe to that for a minute, and he doesn't either. That's another thing that I thought, this guy's really unusual. Now, as I pointed out earlier, he's got 12 doctrinal issues or legal issues that are incorrect. And I'm going to cover some of those as we progress along, one or two at a time, and point out that I don't want to be associated with that. That's a scriptural error. That's what he believes. That's what he teaches. But that's not what we believe, and that's not what we teach here at the law school. Now, sometimes people will ask me, well, why do you recommend these books that you don't agree with? And the answer is, and this guy has got 95% truth, true, accurate, and correct. I would agree with it. And then 5% is inaccurate. If I were to say, well, I'm not going to report on this set of tapes because I disagree with 12 things that he said, I think that would be short-sighted. I mean, you could be a Catholic and you don't agree with everything the Pope says, and you're one of them. So that, with that said, I'm going to identify what I think is an error, which is only 12 items. And if that's all that I've got to complain about is those 12 items, it really, on balance, is hardly worth bringing to your attention, but I'm going to anyway, because I get letters from people and they really castigate me and they say, wait a minute. I heard you say that here's what you believe, and then you recommend this book, and on page 321, the author disagrees with you, and here you are selling her book. And I'm going, well, okay, maybe I disagreed, or I don't believe everything that this lady says, but 90% of it's pretty damn good. Now, he's got another one here, number 203, called An Advocate for Our Time. And the brochure says, the sanctuary is one of the great typological features of the Bible, and every aspect of the sanctuary points to the ministry of the Messiah. Now, I didn't know that before I saw this DVD. And that's why I told you earlier, I said, you know, as old as I am, you know, I just sat there learning new information just one after another. And this guy can actually point in the scripture back and forth. Remember, the Bible's written in code. He's code-plated out, then cites from Psalms and says, now here's what the scripture says in Revelation chapter 2, and here's what Psalms said to corroborate that. He calls it Hebrew parallelism. And as it goes through the sanctuary, it says, here's what that candlestick is all about, and here's this candlestick measure you're mentioned in Revelation 11. So the word candlestick has a dual meaning. Well, okay. That's what we saw in Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. If you'll remember, I've pointed that out from time to time. That is as a law book, the Bible, as a law book, is written in code. And that's so that not everybody can understand it. It ain't for everybody. Not yet. It'll be for everybody, but every man in his order. And to find somebody here, you know, in ordinary religion, Seventh-day Adventist or Catholicism or Protestantism or whatever, who understands these secret societies, understands the scripture, understands the code and can decode it and then put that together. You know, I have not code-pled the entire scripture. This guy has code-pled a lot of prophecy here. I'm smarter today than I was last week. So I'm going to point that out to you. The Mists of Time. This is number 204. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream in which he sees a great statue through which is to be revealed the history of the world to the very close of time. The startlingly detailed vision tells us where we are in the stream of time and what events are about to occur on planet Earth. This vision is analyzed in detail, and history vindicates its authenticity. Daniel's 2300-day prophecy, which ends in 1844, which is what triggered what's known as the Great Disappointment of 1844, reported on by the Adventists, the Church of God Seventh Day, and the Worldwide Church of God over the years, has pointed back to this Great Disappointment of 1844. It's true that Miller misconstrued the ramifications of the 2300-day prophecy, but 1844 is a pivotal year in history that we wouldn't have known if it hadn't been for that Daniel 2300-day prophecy. Now, hindsight's 2020. Foresight's about 10-10 at best. So Miller, the guy that came up with this 1844 advent of the Second Coming, was right about the year 1844, but he wasn't right about the Second Coming, as we can all see today. That doesn't mean the Second Coming isn't going to occur, but now we all know it isn't going to occur in 1844. Furthermore, we don't know when it's going to occur because in Matthew 24, the Messiah himself said he did not know when he's going to return. He said there's only one guy in the universe that knows the answer to that riddle, and that's the Father, and he ain't told me. Now, if the Messiah himself says, I don't know when I'm coming back, that ought to send a pretty strong signal to all the rest of us, and we don't know either. So I've been telling people for years, you know, they ask me, when do you think the Second Coming is going to come? I said, well, I think we're a day closer than we were yesterday, but I don't have a clue. And then I tell them very plainly, I said, you know, Jesus himself said he didn't know. If the boss doesn't know, what in the hell do the employees know? You know, if the boss doesn't know, I don't think that anybody working out on the floor has a better insight into what's going on in the company than the boss. So with that in mind, let's tuck it away in our hearts. But I'll tell you this, he starts off with Nebuchadnezzar. He says he's the big statue over here, the head of it, and then we get the arms and the chest, and that's the Cyrus the Great in the Medo-Persian Empire, and then comes the Thais of brass, and that's Alexander the Great divided into four kingdoms. And then comes the legs of iron. These two legs of iron are the Roman Empire, east and west, with the capital in Constantinople and the other in Rome. And then you got the 10 toes and the feet of clay, iron and miry clay. That's 10 resurrections. And he goes through the history of these 10 resurrections, starting with the Byzantine Empire, and carries it right down to modern times. And the seven churches that you see mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3 are seven historical eras of time in which those seven churches that Paul had raised up there, you know, in Turkey and Syria, well, they're types of historical events that have occurred. For instance, one of them, the Sardis era, are the Waldenses of northern Italy who were wiped out. And today we're in the last era of the church. What we're dealing with today is this Laodicean era. And each one of these churches has some very important historical information that applies to people just like you and I today. All seven of those churches represent the types of character or beliefs that people have and carry with them today. And then it's explained, I thought, in spades. Did a hell of a good job. And then number five here, number 205B, the man behind the mask. How many times have you heard people speculate on who do you think the beast power is, or the little horn, or can you explain these seven trumpets? Well, Professor Veith has scoped it out, code-pled it out, and identified the man behind the mask, the beast himself, the man with the name 666, and it's in three languages. It's in Greek, Latin, and one other language, and I can't remember what it is. And this guy wears it in his hat, and this guy's hat has these words in it, and these words, when they're translated out of Greek, Latin, and the other language, the third one there, whether it's Roman or Hebrew, I don't think it's Hebrew, I think it's Roman or Persian or Greek or something else, spells out 666 three times. I thought that was pretty significant. Now, I'm not going to tell you who this guy is. And if you're not interested enough to buy this guy's tapes, I'm not going to be anticlimactic and tell you the answer to the riddle. But I didn't know who it was, and I've said for years, I said, well, whoever it is has got 666 written on him. And I think it's probably this guy or that, or it could be this guy or that or something else. Just speculating. I think that this beast power over here, this guy that's the false prophet, I think he's got the name written right on his hat. And in addition to that, this thing is an occult practice. He goes through Washington, D.C. Have you ever heard the name Jordan Maxwell? Well, I would say that Professor Veith has gone through the Jordan Maxwell tapes, or the CDs, DVDs, because he's right up to speed on Washington, D.C. And the occult symbols that are on all of our buildings and in our governmental institutions, such as the fasci that you see on the back of the Mercury dimes, or the torch of Satan on the back of the Roosevelt dime, or the Statue of Liberty, which is the statue of Mithra. See, I didn't know the name of the Statue of Liberty. What god is that? It's Mithra. That's who that is, Mithra. And there are seven points out of the crown on the Statue of Liberty, and those have occult meanings. It's the occult symbol. It's the halo of the sun god. It is Mithraic sun worship. Statue of Liberty was put up by the Masonic Lodge, so it's Masonic in origin. Where do the Masons get their origin and their power? Who is it that's running the Learned Elders of Zion? Who is it that directs and guides Skull and Bones, the secret societies, the Trilateral Commission, and so on? This guy's got a better handle on the secret societies than anybody I've ever read or seen. Now, Anthony Sutton's good. I don't deny it. But this guy, Veith, is better than Anthony. Better. And that's because Sutton's a politician. He's a historian. He's not writing from the perspective of the Bible. He doesn't have the insight of God and Bible prophecy working with him. He's got a good understanding of politics, a good understanding of the secret societies. I wouldn't deny it. But I don't think he's quite got the whole story together until you can put Bible prophecy together with it. And this guy can do that. That's why I'm telling you, this is the most eventful revelation that I have seen in 70 years. 70 years. I've read a lot of good books and reported on a lot of them, but I don't think I've ever run across anything quite like this. It's on DVD. Now, in the 4 or 5 minutes that I've got here, I think I've got about 4 minutes, I'm going to pull out one of my complaints. This guy, being a Seventh-day Adventist, doesn't drink, and he doesn't eat meat. And I thought, for somebody that knows as much as this guy does, and can cite from Sutton and cite from Morals and Dogma and so on, and cite from the Scripture and put it together, he surely must understand what the Bible teaches concerning wine and strong drink. Well, in Deuteronomy 14, verse 26, the Bible is pretty emphatic about at the holy days that we drink wine and strong drink. In fact, it tells you plainly, do that. Not that you should be an alcoholic, you know, no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. No glutton shall inherit the kingdom. But that doesn't tell us that we should be vegetarians, and it doesn't tell us that we should be abstinent from alcohol. And yet, this guy teaches abstinence from alcohol and vegetarianism. Now, when we talk about vegetarians, go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, and it says it's a doctrine of devils. I didn't write it. I'm just reporting it. And I don't believe that vegetarianism is a scriptural doctrine. I think it's a doctrine of devils, and that's because that's what the Messiah inspired Paul to write to Timothy, strong drink. And Jesus, the Messiah, made six water pots of wine at a wedding feast. Do you remember that? And that wasn't grape juice. And I don't know if religious people understand this or not, but you can't keep grape juice or apple juice. It will ferment even by itself and turn to alcohol. So these are doctrinal issues, and they're kind of minor, but I want to mention to you that Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, if you go out and you teach these kinds of doctrines, even against these least commandments, he says, I'll call you least in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm sure the professor of I knows that, or if he doesn't, he should. And as we say in law, well, he knew or he should have known. So don't blame me when you get to that portion of his tapes. I'm not advocating vegetarianism, and I'm not advocating teetotaling either. I'm not advocating drunkenness and debauchery, and I'm not advocating gluttony. There should be a balance. But these two doctrines are scripturally incorrect from Dr. Bai. Tuck that one away in your heart. Hey, I'm out of time here, kids. We're going to have to leave it right here and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night at the same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone. And good night, friends.